Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to GN10, where we break down the latest gymnastics news in 10 minutes or less. I am your host, Patricia Duffy, and I am live in Liverpool for the 2022 World Gymnastics Championships. We have just wrapped up the men's all-around final, and I'm going to give you a quick recap of all that went down tonight. So let's jump right into it. So tonight went a lot better than the men's team final, which saw a lot of falls and was quite dramatic for a variety of reasons. But tonight it was all about the individual competition, and the biggest storyline, the biggest headline was, of course, Olympic all-around champion Daki Hashimoto and 2021 world all-around champion Zhang Boheng of China battling for the world title. And then Daki's teammate, Wataru Tanigawa, who qualified first ahead of both of those gymnasts, of course, was in the mix. And then you have a variety of other exceptionally talented gymnasts that could potentially make the podium. Carlos Yulo qualified third, I believe, and was also a great contender. You had the two Americans, Brody Malone, Asher Hong, just 18 years old. And so it was a stacked field. And of course, the Brits, can't forget the Brits, Jake Jarman and Joe Frazier. So, getting right into it, of course, it's no secret, especially if you're probably listening to this podcast, unless it's the first thing that you're listening to before even watching, rewatching the competition, that Daki Hashimoto, a year after winning the Olympic all-around title and winning silver in the all-around at the World Championships, ascended to the throne for the world all-around title, winning his first world all-around title and besting Boheng Zhang of China 87.198 to 86.765. So it was a pretty tight competition, but really, when it came down to the final rotation, if Daki hit after he went after Boheng, if Daki hit, then he was going to win. I think that he needed a flat 14 to win the competition when the leaders group made it around to high bar, and he ended up going 14-4-3-3. The same score as Boheng, but of course he had a little bit of an edge. So let's rewind though to the start of the competition and really just touch real quick on each of the rotations. So starting on floor, we really followed the top qualifiers group, which had the top six qualifiers. That was Daki Hashimoto, Boheng Zhang, Wataru Tanigawa, Asher Hong, Carlos Yulo, and I'm probably missing one. I know that I'm missing one. But basically, it had the Japanese guys, it had the one Chinese guy because Sun Wei, who was the second all-rounder, pulled out of the qualifying meet like partway through. So they only had one Chinese qualifier. And then you have one of the US guys, and then Brody Malone was rotating the second group, so like the number 6 to 12 qualifiers. And then, of course, Joe Frazier was also in the top qualifiers group. So on floor to start, all contenders hit solid sets, including Yulo, who led after one with a big 15-1-6-6 to start. Hong made up for an early out of bounds with multiple stuck landings. He was really finding his landings all night and started very strong with a 14-2-6-6. And then over on pommel horse, Brody Malone hit his set. And after some interesting discourse about his opening Mikulaj skill that he was not credited for in the team final, it seems he was credited for it tonight and ended up scoring higher on that event tonight with a 13.766. It was the fourth best pommel horse score of the night. So everything's off to a solid start. Then we move to pommel horse with the top qualifiers. Brody moves to rings. Brody and Asher both hit their sets on rings and horse, respectively. Hong actually improved on his qualifying score by 0.4 on horse. His flares were the perfect mix of fast but also calculated. I just remember back in podium training when I was watching him, he had multiple falls on pommel horse because it seemed like he was just going so fast. And I'm pretty sure, I believe it was Yul Moldar kind of told him to take it a little bit slower, be a little bit more calculated. And I feel like he's found that rhythm and found that perfect balance the past couple of days. So Asher hits, Brody hits, Daki Hashimoto hits his set, Zhang hits his, and Hashimoto specifically struggled in qualifying. He had a fall in qualifying on horse, so that was a big moment. That was a big test for him to hit that set, and he ended up earning the highest pommel horse set of the entire night with a 14.333. Then we rotated to the third rotation. Brody had an excellent Kaz 1.5 with just a small hop forward, earned a big 14.5. And then over on rings, all of the guys had very strong routines. Asher hit his ring set and was in third. And then specifically, Zhang from China hit his set. He earned a 14.1. He had already hit his set in the team final, but back in qualifying, he had fallen on his dismount. So this was just kind of revisiting that and like, will he or won't he? China just had an all around kind of terrible qualifying. And of course, they qualified fourth and then won. So not a big deal. And it seems to definitely have been pushed into the past. So then we rotate to vault for the top guys. Asher again went for the Risei Wong. It's so admirable that this 18-year-old is throwing the hardest vault in the world. And he did struggle on the landing. He hasn't been able to recreate the like near perfect Risei Wong that he did during World Team selection camp, but all things considered, he ended up earning a 14.166, even though he definitely got a neutral deduction, like a 10th neutral deduction, and had to step around a little bit on the landing. So that put him fifth. And Malone, meanwhile, had an excellent parallel bars rotation that moved him into fourth. And actually, Brody went right before Asher went on vault, and Asher was able to stand right next to the podium, like directly in front of the parallel bars and root on Brody. When we talked to Brody afterwards, he said he did not hear Asher at all, which is, totally understandable. He's probably just like completely blocking out everything and focusing on his routine. But that was really cool. And you could actually hear the entire US team, the US men, the US women, up in the upper bowl of the arena yelling for both guys all night. And so that was great. Moving on to rotation five, Asher and Brody both continued exceptional nights. Asher hit his parallel bar set, and when he stuck his landing, Brett McClure was down on the floor and he like literally jumped up in the air, pumped his hand. He was so excited. And then Malone also hit his high bar set, which everyone knows is very difficult, and he'll be competing in the high bar final later this weekend. He earned a 14.5 for it tonight, which was the top score, besting Daki and Bohang. So that's very promising for his high bar medal chances later this weekend. Carlos Yulo was exceptional on parallel bars. He posted another 15.166, very similar to floor. And when we talked to him afterwards, now, spoiler alert, Carlos did not have the best night. He had a fall on pommel horse. He had a struggle on his vault. And then I believe that he also fell on high bar. But he was, so afterwards, he was, when we talked to him, he was very not happy with the night. You could just tell he was disappointed. He said that he does so much better in practice and that it just did not go the way that he thought. He was like, I'm happy to be top eight in the world, but still, like, I know I can do much better. But what he said about parallel bars was quite funny because he called his set okay and said that he can do much better than what he performed tonight. And if you can do much better than a 15.166 and an 8.866 E score, that's wild. And you know, at the same time, Carlos is such an exceptionally, like, literally, probably objectively the most technically sound gymnast in the field. It's like, it's hard to believe, but then you also believe it. So, Carlos, again, absolutely outstanding. And then Daki, Bohang, and Wataru were 1, 2, and 3, respectively, heading into rotation 6, followed by Hong in 4th and Brody in 5th. So in rotation 6, the top qualifiers headed to high bar, and Brody headed to floor, which has been a challenge the past couple of days in qualifying and the team final. Brody had fallen. So uncharacteristic. It's just been a really tough week for the US men. And when we talked to Brody afterwards, he was just like, basically, like, his legs are so tired. He's just gassed. He's been going nonstop, really, for like a year. It's just been the Olympics and then Worlds and then NCAA and then elite season and then Worlds and then, you know, it's NCAA again. So it's just like he is really gassed, and he said that. So when he did his floor set, he actually downgraded his second pass. I think it's like a 2.5 to punch double, but basically he downgraded it to a single on the second twist, just to be safe, and he ended up hitting his set, so that was great. He ended up earning a 14.133, hit his floor. It's just like, okay, awesome. He did his job over on high bar. Asher actually ended up falling after hitting 5 routines and almost going the entire meet, like qualifying, team final, and today, without having any falls and any major errors. He fell on his Coleman. It was so disappointing. He actually, like, hit his wrists and, like, fell. And then when he went back up, he repeated the skill and still caught it with, like, his wrists by the grips. And when we talked to him afterwards, he was just like, yeah, like, that's actually a pretty normal occurrence. I've done it so much in practice that basically, like, I know how to handle it and I know I have to finish my routine. So when he did it the second time, completed it successfully, he swung through, like, regripped while he was doing a giant. And then by the time he hit his Kovacs, he was fine. So that's, like, otherworldly. And if you want to see a picture, a still of that catch, we have it on our social media pages. It's pretty wild. Daki and Zhang both hit, and they ended up finishing 1-2. Wataru also hit, and that secured the bronze for him. Brody Malone finished in 4th. He was, let's see, like 2 tenths back from, 2 or 3 tenths back from, I think 3 tenths back from Wataru. And then Jake Jarman ended up sliding into that 5th spot, and then Asher finished 6th. And of course, if Asher had not fallen, he would have finished 5th, which is very promising. And overall, the US men had a great showing today. It was a very redemptive showing for them after the struggles in the team final. It seems like, especially individually, and of course, it will spill over to the team, that the US men's program plan to increase difficulty and really emphasize difficulty is working. And if you had the number 4 and number 6 gymnast in the world, and it definitely, like, there's room for improvement still, then that's very promising prospects for the next couple of years and just the future in general. And especially when one of them is 18 years old and has such a bright future ahead of him. Brody as well, even at 22. But that's the first time since in almost 20 years, since I think 2003, that two of the top 10 all-rounders in the world were US men. So very good performance by them. And then of course you have Japan taking up two of the spots on the podium. Bohang Zhang in the silver medal spot. He definitely was not, he didn't seem particularly pleased, of course, with getting edged by Daki, but Daki is the new guy in men's all around. And he said afterwards that he has learned a lot from Kohei Uchimura before him, and he's really carrying on that torch. That torch has been passed, and really this is just another confirmation that he is definitely the one to beat, the top gymnast in the men's gymnastics world. So yeah, it was a great final. It was very exciting. And now we are done with team finals. We are done with all-around finals. We head to event finals tomorrow and Sunday. So we will be back with recaps of both of those days and are looking forward to some exciting gymnastics this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.